Good evening. Thank you for joining us. This year, kidnappings are not uncommon in Haiti, but a trifecta of misery with the country's shock in the aftermath of a presidential assassination and a devastating earthquake. But the brazen abduction of such a large group of Americans and the multi-million-dollar ransom are unusual. ABC's Marcus Moore reports from Port-au-Prince.
The streets of Port-au-Prince, eerily quiet. With the country on the brink, all eyes are on Haiti, now several days into the hunt for 17 foreigners kidnapped near the nation's capital. 16 Americans and one Canadian missing, members of the Christian Aid Ministries based in Ohio. Five of the kidnapped are children, including an 8-month-old baby. A senior Haitian official telling ABC News a kidnapping gang is demanding $1 million per hostage, a total of $17 million for their release. Today's crisis, just the latest example in a string of misfortunes hitting the island nation in just the past few months.
There's a lot of people who are afraid to go out of their homes here because of the threat of violence, the gun battles that have happened, the kidnappings that have occurred. Everyday people who have been picked up off of the street by gangs and then held for ransom. That's a real concern for so many people here, and they want it to change.
After the July assassination of its president, Jovenel Moïse,
anybody hear me?
Followed by an earthquake 5 weeks later that killed more than 2,200 and left tens of thousands homeless, the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere is now the focus of an international hostage negotiation.
We have, in the administration, been relentlessly focused on this, including sending a team to Haiti from the State Department, working very closely with the FBI, which is the lead in these kinds of matters.
The U.S. Embassy confirming to ABC News that the FBI has made contact with 400 Mawozo, the kidnapping gang, one of the most dangerous in the country.
It controls a large part of Port-au-Prince. They've known for kidnapping busloads of individuals, carloads, vanloads, while other gangs in Haiti may focus on grabbing one person here and there. In the case of Katsa Mawozo, they will probably ask $20,000 or $50,000 for that entire vehicle, which is much easier for people to raise. It means less time in captivity, and often it doesn't make headlines.
While gangs control much of the capital, locals are frequently their target. But this one is different.
This particular kidnapping, what makes it odd or stands out is because it's Americans, right? It's charitable workers. Usually they fear the Americans, they fear the foreigner. And that's what Haitians are saying today, that if they can go that far, that means that me, my neighbor, my children, anybody is potentially the next victim.
This isn't about some religion or some philosophical bent. This is just out and out money. It happens all the time in organized crime, in drug cartels. People get kidnapped every day, held for ransom. You never hear about them. Law enforcement doesn't even know about them. They pay it, the person comes back, and they go on.
One who knows the ways of this gang all too well, Father Jean Million, who was kidnapped by the 400 Mawozo gang back in April.
It is very difficult. You let your house, you go to celebrate, and on the middle of the street, someone kidnapped you.
You were held hostage for 20 days.
20 days.
Tell me what that moment was like.
I lose some weight, become weak. We did have a hope. Our hope is one day we are going to be free of everything.
Kidnappings like Father Jean Million's becoming all too common.
Often they are not reported to the police. We hear about them on social media or through word of mouth. But let's be clear, there have been over 40 poor nationals who have been kidnapped in Haiti this year. And there have been hundreds, according to the UN, 600 and more kidnappings. And these are everyday Haitians, from school children, from poor people who are working in markets to doctors.
If you look at the numbers, since July, when the president was assassinated, kidnappings have gone up 300% in Haiti. They know if they do these mass kidnappings, in other words, multiple people, that will translate into more money.
That fear felt by many, like Godwin, a missionary from Miami, who's been in Haiti now for the last 3 years.
People are being kidnapped left to right. You were able to identify the people that were getting kidnapped, but now it's totally random. I think everyone here in Haiti has some sense of fear.
He says the alarming surge in abductions comes as gangs become more and more confident.
they don't have any repercussions. There's no security, there's no police, there's no one to come help. And that's probably the worst thing. You're on your own.
Instability here increasing since the 2010 earthquake, leading many to flee. Tens of thousands of them showed up last month in Texas hoping for asylum. Since then, more than 2,000 Haitians have been deported back to their homeland. Now, in the fifth day of the hostage situation, the White House tight-lipped about its plans for negotiations now underway, even declining to confirm reports that the $17 million ransom is being made.
I can't get into too many details operationally here because that's never has never been in the interest of bringing people home who are being held for ransom.
The reason you don't talk about that is that you're literally trying to negotiate, and the idea that that would be in public would go against what you're trying to do.
In fact, the United States has provided upwards of $15 million in assistance to Haiti's national police in recent weeks, in part to aid anti-gang violence efforts. Christian Aid Ministries, based in Ohio, has been operating in the country since 1984. This group of missionaries was said to be returning from this orphanage they had been repairing when they were kidnapped. The organization putting out a statement requesting prayer and stating that many people, including CAM management and Haitian and U.S. authorities, are working diligently to bring our loved ones home to safety.
In addition to hostage negotiators attempting to engage these gang members, there will be the intelligence community, probably DOD, Department of Defense, and some other agencies that are attempting to run or are running sources in Haiti.
On the streets in Port-au-Prince, Haitians are visibly distraught by the ongoing violence and unrest that has plagued the country. Our car was turned around repeatedly as part of a national strike against the government, demanding any response to the economic struggles, the violence, and kidnappings.
We tried to drive up the road just earlier, and we're told to turn around. And so that is just a bit of what life is like right now here in Port-au-Prince. People are angry, and they want stability in their country.
One man I met in a park here wants the world to know that while Americans are patiently awaiting the return of the kidnapped, Haitians are reeling at what's become of their country.
Things are not good at all for the moment right now. There are thieves and kidnappers. People can't go out. It's not only Americans that are victims of this, it's Haitians also.
In a nation both deeply spiritual and religious, well over 80% of Haitians are Christian. Prayer can often seem like the only light in the midst of a dark tunnel. Father Millian's message to the kidnapped is to keep the faith.
You never lost hope in that moment, in those 20 days.
Even the time is difficult, but we do not have to lose our hope in God.
On our way out of his monastery,
in the name of the Father,
he insisted we pray together.
And of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Not just for the 17 held hostage, but for the others who aren't in captivity, but feel like hostages in their own country. For Nightline, I'm Marcus Moore in Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Our thanks to Marcus. Up next, the new ABC drama, Queens, bringing us back to a golden era. Can't handle the speed, I kick them to the curb. Now you look, you wanna be with a nasty girl. No, you wanna spend time in my nasty
world. Give me what I need and I'll be your nasty girl. Thursday on Nightline.
Get everything with guns off the ground, go!
We talk to the cast of the highly anticipated sci-fi epic, Dune.
I would have played the sand in this movie had they offered it to me.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
As in previous campaigns, it's the economy, stupid. We'll be looking at that this morning.
First, though, it's the news, stupid.
It is the economy, stupid.
It's not the economy, stupid.
It's national security, stupid.
It's the hair, stupid.
In 1992, one of the best-known pieces of presidential campaign wisdom was born. It's the economy, stupid. But was it actually the economy that won Bill Clinton that election? In a new series from the 538 Politics podcast, we're taking a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from? And does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.
The new ABC drama Queen celebrates the women of the early days of hip-hop. The fictional characters trying to make a comeback and recreate some magic. Here's ABC's Deborah Roberts.
Face so pretty, baby body full of curves. If he can't handle the speed, I kick him to the curb. Now you look, you wanna be with a
nasty girl. It's a celebration of female empowerment. And swagger.
Pop bottles with my girls, we run the world.
Queens, the new ABC drama about an all-female former 90s hip-hop group trying to make a comeback.
This show explores what womanhood looks like in complexity. It's
yes.
not just one-dimensional women. We are all complex characters.
Yeah.
She took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah, it's true. Okay.
The series revealing the complicated lives of the Nasty Bees, played by award-winning singers Brandy, Eve, Naturi Naughton, and actress Nadine Velasquez.
We're the OGs. Look, no shade. Nicki, Cardi, Megan, none of them would exist without us.
In the series, the four women had skyrocketed to the top before being torn apart by fame, only to be rediscovered 20 years later by a new, younger singer.
20 men on YouTube now, I am straight chopsticking.
We are not a sideshow.
You're not a show at all anymore.
Check it out, check it out. About to show y'all what this is all about.
The women, now calling themselves queens, get back on stage, hoping to recreate their magic.
Only God can judge me, because heaven only knows.
What does it mean to be a queen?
Just being a woman, period, just automatically makes you a queen.
Mm-hmm.
Eve said something a while back, being authentic and loyal and unapologetic.
A real queen recognizes a fellow queen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you give props to another woman, and even in regular life, you don't have to be a TV star to do this. You could be walking down the street and say, you know what, girl, you look really good.
I just love feminine energy, and I love what we talk about. Yeah. I love helping out my sisters.
The singers in the series helped define a generation of pop and hip-hop sounds. Brandy, famous for hits like The Boy Is Mine, and her star turn on the series Moesha, where she played a fun-loving teenager with a squeaky clean image.
I'm sorry, Thelma, but this is one Louise who is getting out the car.
In Queens, she plays Naomi, aka Explicit Lyrics, a hard-edged performer unable to care for her daughter.
Was it challenging to do something so different?
Acting is just challenging for me, period, because that's not my first love. Music is my first love. It definitely was a challenge, but I love a challenge. I'll give you this heart
of mine. Following her superstar years, Brandy says she later battled depression. I'm on that borderline, yeah. After an 8-year hiatus from making music, she released her album B7 last year with songs like Borderline.
You have talked about taking care of your mental health.
Oh, yeah.
How important has that been for you to take that platform when really have to publicly?
Mm. So important. I think, you know, As a black woman, you know, we always feel like that's not something that we can talk about. That's not something that we can really discuss, share, you know, taking care of your mind, taking care of your mental health. For me, it was a release. I needed to get that out. And I felt like so many people can relate to, you know, the things that I have experienced.
Eve rose to the top as one of the hottest female rappers of the 90s with hits like Who's That Girl? Yeah. and Let Me Blow Your Mind with Gwen Stefani.
Let me blow your mind.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Now she's playing Brianna.
Ma'am.
AKA Professor Sex, 20 years after being on top of the music world and mom to five kids.
She also has lost her voice. She's lost who she was when she was Professor Sex 20 years ago with her girls. Mm-hmm. And she is looking to get that fire back.
In real life, Eve endured fertility problems for years. Now at age 42, she's expecting her first child.
There is hope. There is hope, and I am definitely, I'm sitting in a dream right now. I'm living this dream, and it's beautiful.
So how are you gonna rap with the pregnant?
Oh my goodness,
state I know, on the show.
We've recorded songs now that I've been on the show.
The baby knows all the lyrics.
Baby knows all the lyrics, child. Baby knows all the songs.
Queen's also tackling very real subjects about living authentically. Natori Naughton playing Jill DeThrill, who struggles about coming out.
It's really important to play a character like this that you can see other people can say, you know what, I see myself. Maybe I should be unafraid to live my truth.
I'm in. We should do it. The show? I was being petty.
One thing apparent with these queens, their chemistry on screen.
Hey, we need each other to find our voices.
And off.
That is the one thing I always say as an actress. It's hard to fake. Women, sometimes even women of color, we're often pinned against each other.
Yes.
100%. We're often put in positions where you can be the only one.
Yeah.
We're trying to kind of obliterate that concept.
My pin game is Saddam Hussein to your brain. So insane, I got him in chains like a slave.
Their collaboration just as apparent in the music.
Spitting every flow and body in every line.
Because she's B-Rock. People know her rap name.
Yes.
So this is like before she start rapping on the show, she was already rapping.
She's a beast.
That's
but
why
not
she's so
like
good
this
at
level. I've been around the world 40 days, 40 nights.
Nadine Velasquez, who plays Valeria, AKA Butter Pecan, is the only actress who doesn't come from a musical background.
Did they help you through getting your balance
me.
And figuring
Absolutely.
Out how this works?
Who helped you the most?
I'm just kidding. For me, that's I'm completely insecure about the music and the dancing, right? Because it's not something that's I'm confident about yet. And when I came to the women, they were just like,
"We got you,
go
we
for it,
you.
We got yes. you." And so I've been able to improve so
She's
much
great.
More. I can move in front
really.
Of the camera now. The last video
yes.
we did, I was like, oh my God, me and Cardi B are gonna
yes.
be on stage.
Yes.
Queen celebrates a beloved era in hip hop with a high voltage video, Nasty Girls, a nod to that golden age.
How much pressure was it to get it right?
That was a big thing for us, yes. especially because we come from that time. And yes, I come from that time. It was without the authenticity, we cannot make this show.
Queens against the world.
Oh, you better.
These real life queens clearly wearing their crowns, determined to send a message with their new show.
Has the script from time to time caused you to think back to that little girl you were and what you would tell her today about what you know now?
You're gonna be okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to be okay.
Queens airs Tuesday on ABC and the following day on Hulu. And finally tonight, in her 69 years on the throne, Queen Elizabeth has received a lion's share of honors, medals, and decorations. But the 95-year-old just couldn't accept one offer from a magazine, the Old of the Year Award. The palace saying Her Majesty believes you are as old as you feel. As such, the Queen does not believe she meets the relevant criteria to be able to accept. As for the magazine, they say they may offer the award again in the future. That's Nightline for this evening. Catch our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here, same time tomorrow. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.
As in previous campaigns, it's the economy, stupid. We'll be looking at that this morning.
First, though, it's the news, stupid.
It is the economy, stupid.
It's not the economy, stupid.
It's national security, stupid.
It's the hair, stupid.
In 1992, one of the best-known pieces of presidential campaign wisdom was born. It's the economy, stupid. But was it actually the economy that won Bill Clinton that election? In a new series from the 538 Politics podcast, we're taking a look back at conventional wisdom from past elections with a critical lens. Where did that wisdom come from? And does it hold up today? Find the Campaign Throwback series in the 538 Politics feed wherever you get your podcasts.